what would be your advice? How to come a little bit closer to the understanding of the reality in daily life?
To understand what is now appearing.
So, paying attention to the moment?
No, just what appears now. Don't think of being aware or anything at all, or coming closer to whatever when there's no enough understanding of reality right now as reality.
Well, we see images, we hear sounds, and I'm aware of it, definitely, but I'm at the same time thinking about it, and I think I'm not getting closer to the real understanding of the reality.
But Ajahn says to understand reality now as reality. Yes. That is something we can hear again and again, because it's not so easy for us. But is it beginning of anatta, beginning of non-self?
It's the beginning to know what is real and what is not real.
Beginning to know that it's not a concept, not a table.
And is there any nimitta when satipatthana arises?
All conditioned reality has a characteristic which is nimitta of each one. Is the table real?
Yes.
When you touch the table, what is experienced?
Hardness.
So, and when you look at the table, what is seen?
A wood surface.
And then you smell the table.
You smell the wood.
And how do you know it's a table?
It's a concept that they know.
So is wood a concept?
We experience hardness,
yes,
but not as a reality. That's the difference, because a child knows too.
I could have an instrument that would detect the table even if I'm not here. That doesn't have to be my hand. Mm. It would feel the hardness.
Sure.
So there is something very real.
Yes.
Without
the hardness is real.
The hardness is
real. But it doesn't stay. Falls away immediately. So when you go away, there's another hardness. Or even now.
How do you know that hardness is real? Or not real? Is it real or not real?
Something that can be measured independently of me with the instrument and make a mark.
Do you have to think about instrument?
Well, that's how in science we probe for reality.
But at this moment, we do not need any instrument to experience hardness at all, right?
The Buddha didn't have any instruments. The Arahants didn't have instruments, but they knew reality.
I think what Mr. Chin was leading you to consider is that at this moment, the moments of seeing what we call visible object, just that, which is seeing, moments of touching hardness, moments of hearing the sound, and then this immediately thinking, not necessarily in words, as Robert just said, but thinking about ideas of tables and chairs and instruments. So a lot of what we take for being reality are really just these ideas which we think about because of having had these experiences, but what was actually experienced through the senses are just the realities of hardness, the visible object of sound. That's it. So we're learning to distinguish what are the realities and not confusing the concepts with those realities. And then when we learn about the realities, usually we take it for my experiences of this and that, but actually there are two kinds of realities which you'll have been reading about, namas and rupas. So namas are those realities which experience objects such as seeing or hearing or thinking, and the rupas are those realities which cannot experience anything like the hardness or the visible object.
So again, what is real?
Everything is in flux. Everything is changing every moment. Every atom, every position of every particle, every thought.
What is the reality of thought or thinking? A saying or hardness? Is there any essence of reality?
it's a flow of energy between ourselves.
When you talk about energy, what is it?
Untouchable as a permanent object.
Untouchable.
Cannot catch anything as a permanent. It's impermanent, everything.
What is it?
That is impermanent?
No, it must have a characteristic of it that we can say that it's energy. Otherwise, it's just thinking about something. But if it's real, it must have its characteristic as energy, not as other thing. So what is?
Characteristic of energy is that it can do a work. It can leave a trace.
Intentionally?
Not intentionally.
So its quality or what?
You mean
The energy, yeah.
What is the
I would like to understand
energy?
The energy.
The definition of energy.
Or the essence, the reality of that we call energy is?
I can only give you a definition of energy. And the definition of energy is force that is performing the work.
Can we find it here?
If I lift this pen,
yes.
Here, when I am lifting, I made it potentially energetic. In other words, it has a certain energy, and if I drop it, it will impact into the book. This is energy.
The power.
The power is performing force. But energy is something that will do some work, if you like it.
You mean that it does not drop?
If there was no energy, it would not drop. If there was no energy.
So there is energy here.
No, because it's not
drop.
Moving. because it's not moving. But if I put it
yes,
here.
But when we're talking about moving, there must be something which moves, right?
Yes.
And what is that which moves?
There are many different forms. I'm sorry, maybe I'm talking about
yes, because
about
we'd like to understand the two kinds of reality. One cannot experience anything at all. It cannot know, it cannot think, it cannot hear, and it arises, so it's real. Otherwise, how can we say that anything which does not arise is real, except one thing that we shall talk about now, Nibbana. But whatever appears now has a reason, otherwise it cannot appear, right? Right, visible object. We cannot experience the moment of its arising. But it has a reason, otherwise it cannot be experienced by seeing at all. So when we talk about anything which can be known through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind, there must be its characteristic to be known. For example, sound, we cannot see the sound at all, but it can be heard, and that we call sound. So what is energy? Which doorway that it can be directly experienced?
There are many forms of energy.
But it's not nama, right? It cannot experience anything. It cannot see. It cannot feel.
Yes.
So it's a kind of rupa, a kind
yes.
of the reality which is rupa.
Rupa. It's closer to rupa.
What do you mean by close to? If it can experience.
It cannot be touched.
I mean that if it can experience, then it's nama. That which cannot experience is rupa. So we cannot say that this is close to this. It is nama or it is rupa. It has to be.
Experience.
So it is that which cannot experience is rupa. Yes.
But it can be transformed from one form into the other. It is light, it's energy. Atoms are energy.
Yes, but there must be solidity, cohesion, heat.
As we know now that every object that has hardness, it's really a form of energy.
So hardness must be there, but hardness cannot move. But there is a reality which can move. While hardness cannot move, cohesion cannot move, temperature cannot move, but motion, a reality that can move, condition the movement. It has to be a reality, even it's unseen. It cannot be seen, but it's there. It has the characteristic of being able to move, right? And we might use different term for you call it atom or whatever energy, but it's a reality which has the function or quality to be able to move, right? As long as there is movement, there must be something there which moves, right? Otherwise, we cannot say that it moves or there is movement. There is movement of something, a reality, which can move, while the other reality cannot move. For example, sound itself cannot move at all. But for some theory, one might think the sound moves. But actually, sound itself cannot move. But that reality, that quality which can move is real. It's Vayotatu. But you can call it different name. Yeah. But there must be a reality when we talk about anything, whether it can be seen or not, but it's there. Like sound, we cannot see, but it can be heard. So when we talk about something move, there must be a reality which move. Because it's not imagination about something moving in the air, but there must be something is moving, and the moving cannot be the nama at all. We might use different terms.
Are you a scientist? You are a scientist. Oh, really? What type of science?
I study physics.
Oh, okay, so that's pure science. Yes.
And what we know in science now is that every object consists of atoms, and atoms are nothing else but particles moving around the
world. But what they don't know is those particles are completely impermanent.
Yes.
Much more than science. Buddhism was much more radical. Buddhism discovered many before science that these subatomic particles don't even last for a split second. They disappear completely and new ones arise, and new elements.
Scientifically, I think we could almost prove that humans in the form of ours will never totally understand reality on the mathematical basis, because we are part of the world that we are trying to understand.
Mm-hmm. On a mathematical basis, yeah. Science won't approach the Buddha's understanding,
in my opinion. What do you mean by part of the world?
Because we work with models, and we understand the reality with models.
Mm. So what is the world?
If this table wouldn't have so much space between particles, it could all collapse.
In the Abhidhamma, I just quoted on Dharma Study Group, something about the commentaries in the Abhidhamma commentaries thousands of years ago. They said, because of the space between kalapas, between
materiality,
if it was compressed, if a human was compressed and all the space was compressed out, they'd be about, the actual rupa would be about that much. And Buddhism said this thousands of years ago, and yet it's amazing to me that science has been able to discover this.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed with science, but it doesn't compare with Buddhism's understanding.
I think that we use different terms. For example, as you said, reduce until
just a tiny little cup, they say.
Of what?
Oh, it's one donor full. If you.
Yes, but of what?
Of hardness or something. Yeah, of hardness.
You think that hardness is permanent, it can be not permanent? And what goes down and there is only this amount left?
Yes, what is matter, it? Pure matter.
What is it?
Pure hardness.
Pure hardness? You mean only hardness, or you include heat and cold?
Heat and cold is just, in physical terms, another form of motion. If the particles move a lot, it's hot. If they move less, it's
cold. So you talk about the movement of particle, right? So, and what is the particle which moves?
We will not come to the end of understanding.
Yes, because we can think about the movement, but we don't really know what moves. Yeah.
They are finding smaller and smaller particles all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yes, we will not come to the end.
But the Buddha taught us after his enlightenment that even the smallest particle, there must be 8 types of rupas, not just heat and cold, not just softness and hardness.
So Buddhism does have accurate ideas about rupa too.
I think that before the idea of something move or things like that, Buddha knows clearer and more closer that even it does not move, it arises and falls away. in split seconds. That's why nothing can be considered as self or me or I at all. So I think that it agrees because all namas and all rupas are not permanent. See, it depends on how long you think.
But Buddhism's even more radical.
Yes.
So.
I think that when it's right understanding, it's more precise. No matter what we are talking about, for example, energy, there must be the reality that we use the term energy, and what is it? Because energy cannot be solidity, right? Can it?
It's too vague a term, energy, for me. I don't like the word energy because it's so vague.
Can heat and cold move? See? What can move? What can condition movement? It must be a reality, no matter what term we use. Because there is movement.
But isn't it a new one element?
One
the rise and fall. Wait, an element doesn't go anywhere,
but
does it?
But it depends on the Vayotatu.
Yes, I see.
Otherwise, there cannot be any movement at all.
Right.
Yeah, but not just one particle.
But there's a new particle.
All the time. For example, the seven moments of Javana, the first Javana cannot condition the movement of any rupa.
Mm. And the aim is quite different from science,
right.
Detachment.
Yes, yes.
That's not science.
Yes, exactly.
And that's why we always say the Buddha didn't really teach science, but about reality, so that we have more detachment. That's quite different.
But I think that Buddha was a great scientist.
I think one has to almost leave aside one's other knowledge. I mean, I came from a background of psychology, and I mean, it's almost like one has to, one looks at a lot of the same ideas about memory and feeling and consciousness, but it's actually, it was much easier for me when I started studying the Abhidhamma to just leave it all
aside. Not compare.
Otherwise,
yes.
If you keep trying to bring in your academic knowledge into it, you never will quite understand or get the point.
Yes.
So maybe when you read these, just try to leave it aside, forget the science.
Thank you so much. Very useful. Very good. I will tell Lord Rick.